episode of Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to my voice on. Also, take a few extra seconds, rate, comment, all greatly appreciated. So we are discussing Dune Part 2. I did discuss Part 1, which came out about 3 years ago at this point, I believe 2021. So you can go back and listen to my thoughts on that, but there will be spoilers and all that great stuff. So let's get into it. We're going to start with, you know, the things that I like to start with, which is the monies and who is in this. So as far as who's in it, Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Christopher Walken, who am I missing? Dave Bautista, Josh Brolin, and Rebecca Ferguson, amongst other people. So we essentially, I'm pretty sure we pick up right where we left off the last time. And if you've listened to a few of these episodes, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't remember what happened the last time. But for whatever reason, I can clearly remember part one of this franchise. And I know in the previous episode I said, or I mentioned that I was going to try to watch like the last 30 minutes before going to see it in the theater, which that did not happen. But for whatever reason, I can remember pretty much everything, like scenes, some of the dialogue, all that stuff, my thoughts on part one, which is interesting. So there's that. So I will, hit on some of the things that I've said and when I talked about part one, but this was directed, also produced, writing credit, Denis Villeneuve. I did not look this up. The part one, I did look it up. I didn't look it up again. It's been a while since I've said it. So if I butcher that, apologies. I also saw writing credits for, John Spates and Frank Herbert. I just pulled this from when I was pulling numbers or whatever. And then as far as the numbers, so, I mean, this was doing pretty good numbers wise. So domestic opening, 82.5 million to date. So domestic and international combined, we are at 506 million and to date is 319. So it's been about a couple of weeks because this came out. Wait, when did this come out? Was it February 28th? That seems not right. Okay, I'm gonna look. I need to find the March 1st. It came out March 1st. Okay, so it's been a couple of weeks. And I did see this the week, like the following week after the opening, because I went during Thursday night. So like it drops that there. So literally a week after it opened. So just after opening weekend. But anyway, and then I saw it in the Dolby Cinemas, not in IMAX, because trying to get a ticket to either showing was ridiculous. It's like near where I live and not having to travel far. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never gonna get a ticket. Even some of the earlier shows, which I was surprised by, because you all know I love me a matinee. So I did end up going to a night show, which I'll talk about that in a minute. But as far as other numbers, so I saw that the budget was 190 million. I didn't get to double check that, meaning look for multiple sources. That seems low to me, especially when I think about like a Marvel movie or something like that. And that's usually a lot. So I don't know. But I mean, 190 million is still a lot, but I don't know why it seems low to me, but that's the number I saw. And then as far as the ratings, so CinemaScore is an A, makes sense to me based off of personal discussions with people. And then also some of the thoughts and things that I've seen along the interwebs. So social media, internet, all that stuff. And then as far as, going back to the numbers, because I did write, because y'all know I have notes. So I am looking at my notes. But as far as the total domestic, total to date, so domestic and international combined, that number surpasses the entire run of the first film, which is wild. But also not really that wild if you think about it, because 2021 we were barely coming out of the pandemic and things were slowly opening back up again. And theaters, I started going back to theaters, like, y'all know if y'all been listening for a while. I was like, oh, I'm going back. I miss the movies. But a lot of people just weren't going back to the movies because there was still a lot of, like, hesitation to go back in. So it's not really, while it's surprising, when you look at it in full context, it's like, okay, maybe not that surprising. But I wonder, like, streaming-wise, what that looks like. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we wouldn't have that right now. But like, if we were to look at streaming of Dune compare and like somehow can calculate that and compare it to like a run in the theaters. I don't know. I don't know. You all know where I'm trying to go with that. But anyway, so I wanted to mention that. But then, so CinemaScore was A, again, makes sense to me. And then Rotten Tomatoes score. So critics score 92% and audience score 95%. So not too far off, pretty close in the 90s. That also makes sense to me. And when I compare that to part one, which critic score was 83% and audience score was 90%, which that makes sense to me, especially when I think about my thoughts on part one. So let me make sure we're done with the numbers. Well, I do. Okay, because we're not really done with the numbers. So again, did really good by when we think about the box office. And so let's talk about Timothy, because now there's all these articles like, oh, Timothy is like box office king, breaking all these records. And pretty much is showing that he can carry a movie and it could be a box office hit, because this Dune and also Wonka, which released earlier in the year. And I think I saw that did like over 300 million, I think, total in the article that I was looking at. But essentially, they both did really, really well in the box office. He broke John Travolta's 44-year record. One article put 45 years, and then they put in the actual article was 44 years. I was like, how y'all gonna lie? Try to get people to click and give false information. But he broke John Travolta's 44-year record, and the record was for starring in two box office breaking films within 8 months, which clearly they'd be tracking all types of records. So he broke that and pretty much is like, he's a moneymaker. And it also sounds like he has a bunch of films lined up as well. And I also feel like I've just been seeing him in a lot of things. Like, I feel like he comes out in spurts, if I'm being honest. But also, it takes me back to like when I first was like aware of him, and I was like, oh, he's actually not that bad of a actor. And then now it's like, to see where he is now versus where he was then, it's like, very interesting. So this movie, 2 hours and 46 minutes, what do you all think I'm going to say? Too long. I'm going to preface this by saying I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really, really great. I have just gotten to the point that, and I think I talked about this in the previous episode, which was like a hodgepodge of shows that I talked about. But I've just gotten to the point where everything is just way too long. Like, I went through and was watching all of the Oscar Best Picture noms, and I was just like, oh my gosh, the amount of time that I have to sit and try to get through every single thing. Like, it used to be a movie is like an hour and a half, maybe might butt up a little bit, but not really touch 2 hours. Now everything is almost 2.5 hours long. Some three and a half hours long. It's just like, oh my gosh, I don't even know. So you're just sitting in the theater for 2 hours and 46 minutes. And you could blame it and be like, oh, we've gotten used to watching things at home. But again, I'm someone who loves a theater experience. I love going to the movies. I love watching movies in a theater. I mean, there's just nothing that compares. And you all know I try to set up my home to be as close as possible. But there's nothing that compares to like that movie experience. But my gosh, I'm going to have to start paying rent or something for the amount of time that they have us spending in these movie theaters. It is wild. So 2 hours and 46 minutes. I was surprised I didn't get up once to go to the bathroom. I've kind of learned at this point to not buy anything to drink or bring anything to drink with me into the theater, because that will most likely mean that I'm going to have to get up to go, because, you know, getting older, can't hold it like I used to. So I'm going to definitely have to get up and go to the bathroom. So I've just gotten to the point where I'll get popcorn, but I'm not getting anything to drink. And I'm going to go to the bathroom right before the movie starts, meaning during the trailers, because probably seen all the trailers at that point. So I'm gonna go during the trailer and we're not gonna go again until the credits roll. But my gosh, 2 hours 46 minutes, it was long. It felt long. Anyone who says it didn't feel long is lying, because I didn't look at my clock. I've also gotten to the point where everything is so long that I can feel, or I'm pretty good at guessing about how long it's been watching a movie, so I don't really need to do a time check. But we were about 2/3 through, and I was like, this is long. Like, it's a little bit long. So there's that. But we got through it. I thought it looked beautiful. Let's start with kind of where we came from part one, but kind of like what we're coming into from part one, because part one was like a lot of, to me, it felt like world building. I'm not familiar with Dune. I didn't watch any of the old Dune movies. I'm pretty sure this is based off a book, because I've been in a bookstore and I've seen its table set up with Dune being spotlighted. It's based on books. I've never read the books. So I'm coming into this with no historical knowledge. So part one, I said it when I discussed part one, really felt like world building, like a setup for part two. It felt like a part one, and it was so long, and we didn't really get to Zendaya or see Zendaya or get introduced to Zendaya until like the last 30 minutes of the movie. And I remember at that time it was like this big commotion, because a lot of people who wouldn't be interested in going to see Dune, which are probably the same people, because, you know, things are wild now, especially the way that social media goes. But a lot of those people went to that movie this season day, and then she didn't show up until the last 30 minutes. So a lot of people felt some type of way about that. Whereas in this one, she's in it the entire time. We do a lot of following of her with Shani and Paul. And if I'm saying anybody's name wrong, it's been a couple of weeks at this point since I've seen it. And y'all know I be butchering names, and I try not to. But just putting that warning out there. And so we got to see a lot of them together, like their relationship growing from beginning to end, kind of starting off where Shani's like, oh, I don't know if I trust him. She's a little bit hesitant to let him in because he is an outsider coming into her tribe. And they started like teach him things, and they all think like he is the Messiah. He's the one who's come to save them. Like he is the prophecy. But he doesn't believe that. He's really like against it. And then his mom, Lady Jessica, which I do have some things that I pulled from some articles, talking to Dennis about some of his thoughts and things. But apparently in the books, she was not that big of a focus, or she kind of disappeared in the books. And so he really enhanced her character for the film. And we know she was very much like about the prophecy. She drunk that water. I can't remember the actual name of the water. I meant to look it up. But the water of life, or something like that, which turned out to be from the worm things. I was like, wait a minute. Because you don't really realize that until, or at least I didn't really realize it until that scene where we see her draw the water from one of the worms. I was like, oh my gosh. So that's why they're like, oh, they're crazy. And you hear them say like worm, what were we calling, like worm juice or worm something, telling like reference to what it was that Lady Jessica ended up drinking. But in my mind, it just wasn't clicking until I actually saw that scene. I was like, wait a freaking minute. So we see that she's pregnant, apparently. And one thing I do want to say, while the movie was gorgeous, and I saw an article where I believe Dennis was talking about, did I write this down? I feel like I saw this and I felt like I wrote this down, but maybe I didn't. Mm. gosh, it was so good. Maybe I wrote it down and I accidentally deleted it because I didn't. Actually, let me check. So now you get to see, listen to me try to go through my notes and see if I put it in a previous note, which I don't think so. I vividly remember writing this down, and I potentially could have accidentally erased it. But essentially, it was related to the sound, because I guess people were complaining that they couldn't hear anything, which I feel like it's been a complaint in general about just media in general. I have those same complaints where it feels like the music feels louder than the speaking, and you can't really hear anything, especially at home. Like, a lot of people watch movies and TV shows with the subtitles on. I am one of those people who cannot do that. I would rather blow up the volume to max to hear what they're saying versus read the subtitles, because I don't know. I just don't like to read. I just don't like to have the subtitles on. I feel like it's a little, distracting is not the right word. I just don't like it. But in this movie, my gosh, there were some moments where I was sitting there like, I don't know what they're talking about at all. I can't hear what they're saying. I can't rewind it. There was one moment, I can't remember this moment, but they were, and it was like, because these are the parts that I like, when we're like getting to the nitty gritty, like we're about to get to the climax, we're getting, things are rolling, it feels like the story is moving along, and then it usually ends up being a lot of dialogue, and this was one of those moments, and I can't remember what they were saying. Well, I didn't hear it, so it doesn't matter, but they were talking, it was like Paul, and it wasn't Shawnee, it was somebody else, and I was like, I don't know, or I think it was Josh Brolin's character. It was Paul and him who were talking, and I was like, I don't know what they're saying at all, and I can't rewind it, and I'm just not going to ever know until it comes out on streaming, and maybe I'll rewatch it. Maybe I won't, because everything's so long that it's hard for me to rewatch things. So I saw that article, and he was pretty much like, he doesn't make movies for the speaking element of it. I'm summarizing, because again, I wrote this somewhere, and I can't find the note. But he doesn't make it for the speaking or whatever like that. It's for like the sounds and the feels, essentially. Me just 1,000% simplifying it way more than what he said. But I thought that was so interesting, because we do see a lot of intimate moments where it's like you, and this is one of those movies, even though it's long, you do really have to pay attention, which in theaters it's hard not to pay attention, but you do really have to pay attention because you're trying to hear everything that they're saying and try to follow the storyline, especially for someone who is not that familiar with everything. And I'm trying to make sure I understand what the hell is going on, because there's just so much, like at a high level, you understand like there's conflict, there's all these different groups of people, and there's really like a caste system, and they're fighting for the top over like this one thing, which is like, it seems to be the driving force, but like very important when you talk about like the spice and protecting the spice, but this is all coming from essentially Shawnee's tribe, which I didn't write down the tribe name, but essentially coming from them or stealing from them, and they're trying to like protect that land. And so like at a high level, yes, that makes sense. But then when we get to intricate details, like I do want to understand what the hell is going on so I can make sure that I'm following. Like high level, I get it by the time we get to the end of the movie. But on a one-on-one level, I'm like, yeah, there's some things I just don't know what was going on. But anyway, so we see Lady Jessica. She drinks stuff. She's like prophecy. She's also pregnant. And so apparently this was filmed in secret. I also pulled this from the same article. What did he say? Part 3. So essentially it feels like it's a setup for part 3, because we kind of jump to the future where we see Paul's sister. She's grown up and she's talking to him because he's having like a moment where he's having like one of his visions, and he sees her in the visions, and then she's grown up, and it's Anya Taylor. And I didn't know that this was like a secret thing, because I guess because I had seen all of the red carpet, like, because you know, fashion, love fashion, saw all the red carpet leading, red carpet premieres, and like all the stars there and what they were wearing, all that stuff. And she was there. So I didn't know it was like, oh, we got to hide this cameo. But apparently it was filmed in secret and everyone was sworn to secrecy. And so we see her for like 2.5 seconds as like a prelude to what's to come in the future, which we'll talk about towards the end when we wrap this all up. What else did I want to talk about? I thought that this one was definitely more exciting because it felt like we kind of laid the groundwork with part one and we get to just jump right in and be boots on the ground, like heavily involved, and it feels like there's a little bit more action. Even when Paul is like learning how to fight, is it Freeman? Yeah, the Freeman. Okay, there we go. I found the people. Even though he's trying to learn how to fight, it's still very interesting. And that's also where we start to see Shani become more like, more than intrigued with him, but to develop feelings for him. And then we get to see them explore that as well. And we do, but it also feels like time is moving and it feels like things are moving too slow. And then, of course, because y'all know I love a good fight scene, but I also love a good, like, war type fight scene. What did I call it? War style fight scene. Because if you're new here, then go listen to Last Kingdom, all my episodes of Last Kingdom. I love, like, those are the things that I like about historical type either movies or TV shows that are set in that time, is just to see like how they interpret how they fought during that time. And you saw some of those same kind of like war styles woven into here, where, you know, they all like do the shield. I can't remember what they call it, but they do the shield where they all like line up. And then you saw a little bit of where they like start to like move forward as one. Like, I don't know. It just makes me so excited. But I did like to see that. And you're all, and even the way that they would come up out the ground, the Freeman is like, you know, they're there, but then when they come out from under the ground, like, oh my gosh, how are they even breathing under there? But they do it so effortlessly, and then they just start kicking ass. And then especially as the movie goes on, like once they're actually starting to defend the spice and be like trying to protect the land and all that stuff, and Paul is becoming like more and more powerful in a way, if you want to say. And every time you see him walking, it's like slow-mo, hair flowing, daunting. It's just like, if I see one more slow-mo walk scene, although it did add to the style of it, it made him look even more badass. But it was like, okay, how many do we need? Because at this point, we've had about 10 of them. But I thought that was funny as well. What else? But then also like that he could just like he picked up their fighting style pretty quickly. He already knew how to fight because he was trained to fight. He's also super smart, even before he even drank the water that his mama told him to drink, that she shouldn't have drank because she was pregnant, because apparently her being pregnant, it was like some kind of complication when they thought she died, and they were like, we didn't know that she was with child. But then she like comes back to life, which I don't know, that she did she actually die or did she pass out? I don't know. Again, everything wasn't clear as far as everything that was being said. But what was I gonna say? So yeah, we talked about the fight scenes. I love that as well. And then one of the other things, and just the storytelling, just felt more exciting because, again, it didn't feel like we were like setting it up for this huge story to come in the future that we don't know what's going to happen with. You feel more interested in the characters, whereas it felt like a lot most of the time, because it did feel like a setup. You spend a lot of time with Paul and his mom, and like it in a lot of characters who by the end of it are not there. So it's great to be around some characters who stuck around for a long time as well. And then from that article with Dennis, he said that Shani is the hero, and then I put in parentheses Avi, because I mean, we saw the trajectory that Paul was going. He was getting I don't know if we want to say he's feeding his ego, or he's getting, but he was getting more powerful. People were starting to listen to him, especially once he drank that worm water. He just, it seemed like all feelings were gone, especially at the end, that whole exchange. When you, and you, for someone who hasn't watched any of this or read the books, I'm like, I don't know where this is going, but it seems like he's going to pretty much be making a deal to marry Florence Pugh's character, which, what's her name? Princess Aralon? It looks like he's going to make a deal with her. And so you know that that is coming. You're kind of like, okay, how's that going to be handled? Is he going to be compassionate about it or whatever? So what I pulled from the article, pretty much Genis was saying that he wanted to bring a new perspective on what Paul is becoming. To use Shani would be absolutely perfect. So she's like, he's clearly going into his villain era. And she's like the only one who seems to be still about the purpose that she started out with, where it feels like his is changing to be a little bit more political and a little bit more self-serving. And then also, which is another thing that you think about watching this, is she and her people were like, don't know if we can trust him. Don't want to let an outsider in. They let this outsider in, and essentially he's kind of become a colonizer in a way, which is wild to think about. And so I think she's valid in her choice. And then he also said something around, from her perspective, Shani's perspective, and this is talking about the ending. So after he's like, oh, I'm going to marry her, and he's like looking at Shani as he says it, and like, again, at this point, there's not really a lot of emotion there, but there is something there that passes between them when in that moment when he says it, and then she's just like, F this shit, and storms out. Also, remind me to talk about Austin Butler before I wrap this up. We're going to put a pin in him and come back. And she storms out. And then he said, like, from her perspective, she's destroyed by the fact that Paul is going towards Aralon, but much more by the fact that he's become a colonizing figure, something he said to her he would never do. But politics, I think the reason why I also enjoy this movie is because it combines a lot of the things that I like separately, which is like politics, a little, not war, but like fighting for a cause, fantasy, in a way. Is this it's kind of given dystopian, but like fantasy, because I guess that's what we wanted. What genre did they put this in? This has to be sci-fi. Adventure, drama, action. Okay, this is IMDb. But yeah, so I thought that was interesting. And then really quickly, because there was another, we need to make sure all that is okay, I'm going to come back to that when we talk about part three. So really quick, Austin Butler, because the last thing I watched Austin Butler, actually, no, it's not the last thing, but one of the recent things I watched him in was Elvis, and then I watched him in something else after that, and it was giving it was giving, like, he was kind of stuck in his Elvis era for a little bit. Which makes sense because, you know, he was living, breathing, like, on screen, off screen. He was just stuck. And so I was a little concerned when I saw that he was in this. But honestly, I eat my words up. I thought that he did good. It didn't feel like I was watching him be Elvis and be him playing Elvis playing Fade Rotha. Y'all know I messed up the name, so I could have said that wrong. I feel like I did. But I thought he brought the right intensity. It did feel a little like he was not unstoppable, but it was like, okay, how is Paul going to be him? So it was interesting when they do finally face each other. And of course, you know, they got to give you that moment where you think the person you're rooting for is going to be down and out, but then he comes back. And the way he came back was, like, slick. Like, you didn't even see it coming. it was like, okay, wait, what happened? And then he pulls away. And pretty much, Austin Butler's character is pretty much in a way, it's like, oh, you got me. like, nice move. So I did like that fight scene and how it all shaped out. And you do feel like the not the angst, but the worry of the people who are watching Paul. Because they're like, oh my gosh, he's going to be able to do it. Is he not? But as an audience member, at least I'm going into this, and this is going to tie into the final thing that I want to talk about. But I, as an audience member, I'm going into this thinking like, oh, there's a part three. Apparently there's multiple books. I thought I saw something where part three was for sure coming. But then I'm going back to this article, which I need to, what? Let me give y'all the article source. Because I said I was going to be better about making sure I tell y'all the actual article that I was looking or reading from. One sec. Empire. So this was on Empire, the article, empireonline.com. And the article was titled, Dune Part 2, Five Things We Learned from Denis Villeneuve. And I will try to link this in the show notes since I did quote from it quite a bit. but this kind of gets into the last thing I want to touch on, which is part three. So I'm walking into this thinking like, oh, we're getting to part three. Apparently the third book is called Dune Messiah. And it feels like, again, while I feel like there was more action, more storytelling, that didn't feel like it was a setup for anything. It still feels like we're being left on a cliffhanger. Cause it's like Shani walks off into, or not walks off, rides off into the world. And then Paul and crew go up to fight all of the leaders who are coming, who like essentially he's going to take, bring down. And so to me, that doesn't feel like a complete ending. It feels like there's more to come. But then when I read this article and I see this part or this point around part three, which I put in my notes, is there a part three? Lots of question marks. But Dennis said, we need to make sure all the ideas are on paper. And this is abbreviating because it was like a whole blurb and I just pulled out this part from the blurb. But we need to make sure all the ideas are on paper. And then comes a mouth-watering pledge of sorts. If we go back, it needs to be real. It needs to be relevant. If ever I do Dune Messiah part three, if ever I do, that to me doesn't sound like concrete. If ever I do Dune Messiah, it's because it's going to be better than part two. Again, that to me does not sound like concrete. It's because it's going to be better than part two. Otherwise, I don't do it. So I don't know if maybe what the confusion is like there is, like he has the funds secured to do a part three. And it's just like, when we're going to get the part three is up in the air. But in that article, in this blurb, he talks about how he did Dune part one and part two back to back. He didn't really have a break. And so it kind of sounds like part of it is like, oh, maybe he needs a break. He needs to think about it. He wants to make sure it seems right. Because again, he's saying if he's going to do it, it needs to be better than part two. And if we look at kind of how things have fallen into place, when we look at part one and part two, to me, part two feels better than part one. Like all the way together, it feels better than part one because, again, like I said, part one felt like a setup and just felt like it was a lot of world building. And it's like, okay, where are we trying to get to? And then in part two, it feels like we get there and we do a lot more of the interesting stuff. That makes sense. So part three, still TBD. I don't know. Maybe you all have heard or read something and maybe I missed it. If that's the case, please send it my way. I do want to know. But that brings me to the end of this, into all my thoughts on Dune. If I had to give a rating, I feel like I haven't done a movie in a while. Actually, the last movie I did was The Marvels, and that came out like last year. Was that last year? February? I don't know. No, that was not February. That was last year, like in the fall. But anyway, So it's been a hot minute, but if I had to give a rating, because you all do know this is the one thing I do rate are the movies, and I do letter grades, so I would give Dune a solid A. I couldn't do A plus. Like A plus, you gotta be perfect on all accounts from my judging. So not an A plus. I could knock off for the length of time, but you know, it was still enjoyable. I could watch it, and it was one of those movies where it was like, oh my gosh, I wish they would have shaved off like an hour. But again, I can always, in anything, I can find things that could be cut and will still get you the same result in the end. But you know, who am I? So solid A for me for Dune Part 2. I want to know what you all thought. Let me know all the things, and I will talk to you all in the next episode. That's the end of the episode. Thanks for sticking through it to the end. Be sure to follow me on all the social media platforms at Currently Binging on Instagram and at Current Binge on Twitter. Also, hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on, and I'll talk to you in the next one.